Hopefully everybody is bringing their handouts back with them, since we're spending quite a bit of time in this one section. But there was a handout that we picked up last week. Sort of looks like it might be a woman's writing because it's pretty nice. But I don't know if anybody's missing their handout, but this was left on the table. So if anybody was, it's up here. Is it yours, Marilyn?
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Okay. Morning. Good to see you. Cool.
Thank you.
So, as is our custom in this series, I need a volunteer to put my notes together. No, I'm just kidding. I need a volunteer to write on the board what our big idea of James is.
Someone tall. I'll be
there. Jay?
Really?
Okay. And remember, class, we recite this, okay? So the big idea of James is the relationship between belief and behavior. Okay, go ahead and write that on there. So, the relationship between belief and behavior. And then I've got some verses here on the board. If somebody could look these up and just have them ready, so when we get ready to refer to them, you can read them, please. There's four verses there. And I got to get my stuff ready here, so pardon me. Everything fell on the floor. Okay, let's see here. So first of all, are there any thoughts or follow-ons from last week at all? No?
Well, I just really appreciate you, from the previous week, I really appreciate you connecting the wisdom that's, we're invited to pray for wisdom in verse 5, connecting that with verse 2, consider all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials.
Right.
That's not the normal response, but if we lack wisdom in knowing how that could be the case, or that God could be, how you do that, well, then you can pray for wisdom. I thought that was just a real helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. Wisdom is obviously throughout the Bible, but this context here, and you know, back when we were in week one, we were talking about balance and context and keeping things in context. The context here is praying for wisdom when we're going through trials, so that we know how to properly address them and go through them. So not just wisdom on paying our bills and staying in shape and all that stuff. So let me go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get on to what we're doing here. Father, I just pray right now because I need you. I need your spirit. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do the teaching today. I pray that your word would be magnified and brought to light. And I do pray that through your spirit, that we would grow so that our belief and our behavior don't have such a difference between the two. So God, I just pray that you would guide us right now. Help all of us to be awake. Help all of us to have our hearts open to your word. And God, I just pray that you would do the teaching, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. So, for starters, we ended up last week at verse 12, where I said, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And we will get to that. However, this week when I was preparing a lesson, I got looking at some things, and I just sort of wanted to back up first and address something in verses 5 through 8. So if you can turn your Bibles to verse 5 through 8. He says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Something I just wanted to address in this passage, which I think is important because of the context of the culture that we live in, is when we read in verse 6, "But let him ask in faith without doubting," okay? Don't imply anything metaphysical here, okay?
Define metaphysical in this context, please.
Yeah, what I mean by metaphysical is we there's a large portion of the church these days that sort of believes in mind over matter. And they've also almost adopted a New Age philosophy, which is when I pray, I need to have faith. And it's all about my faith that makes the things happen. Okay?
And happen my way.
And happen my way, thank you, which we'll talk about in a second here. But this is a big deal. And because even though our church doesn't teach it, did that answer your question, by the way, Dave?
What?
Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
It's sort of mind over matter. Think of it that way.
I agree. I don't want to minimize the importance of faith, though.
For sure. And we're going to talk about that. And that's why I wanted to back up here. Faith in what? Faith in who? Faith how? Faith why? And again, we have a big thing going on in our Christian culture these days, which sort of practices a New Age philosophy of faith being a thing in and of itself. Okay? I'm going to probably shock some people by saying this, but there is no power in prayer. There's power in the object of our prayer. If there was power in prayer, the Muslims who pray five times a day, the Trappist monks who pray continually, the occultists who do seances would all be worthy of promoting because there's power in prayer. We have to be really, really careful because Satan, every time he gets a chance, tries to take our eyes off of Christ and onto impersonal religiosity.
There you go.
Okay? Has anybody followed what I'm saying so far? When I say there's no power in prayer, what I mean is this. All the power rests in God. All the will rests in God. All the sovereignty rests in God. It's His will, not our will. Okay, so when we talk about power of prayer, what we're really saying is we have a loving and caring God who cares for us and wants us to talk to Him. Okay? As a separate, again, impersonal, intangible force, if we look at faith and we look at prayer as a force, we're dabbling with New Age.
Right.
Okay? And I say that to just say, be really, really careful. These are very, very subtle things, okay? And when I read this in verse 6, you know, let him ask in faith without doubting, and we'll talk about what this means in a minute, but we need to be careful what it doesn't mean, okay, for starters. In saying things like, you know, the power of prayer, I've mentioned this through this series, because this series is all about behavior. Be really careful as a believer adopting worldly cliches, okay? Just because you hear cliches in the world and you hear cliches even in the church that sound spiritual, be careful. Be careful jumping on those bandwagons. And when somebody says, oh, the power of prayer, I would be careful. What do they mean by that? And there's a lot of people that don't mean well by that. Again, the object of our prayer is Christ. He is the power of our prayer. He is the power behind everything. He's sovereign. Okay? And I'm getting some squirrely-looking looks here. So if you have questions, let me know. As an example, turn to chapter 4 in James. Let me look at verses 5 through 10, and I'll read this for you, okay? Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? Quote, he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, unquote. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Okay? If you notice, one of the things he concludes with there, toward the conclusion, is he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Okay? And then he also says, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, the person, and he will exalt you. God, the person, okay, not some religiously self-centered prayer, okay? You follow me? Or no? Okay. And then if you look at, just look up a little bit at chapter 3, and look at verse 14 and 15, he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down, from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. He's talking about serious stuff here.
Amen.
Okay, this isn't like, let's just sort of tiptoe around, in vagary. He's saying this is demonic. And he's tying it to basically self-centered, selfish ambition.
Amen.
Okay. There is an interesting thing, by the way. I brought this. And please, before I even get into this, please know I'm not saying this to denigrate a person. I'm not saying this to slam a person. I'm saying this to give an example. I had a situation. This goes back to the power of prayer, okay? And faith, a belief in faith as a sort of metaphysical force that we can harness and we can use to get what we want, to make things happen, etc. Okay? And again, I'm hoping that this topic probably doesn't apply to most people in this room. Okay? But I wanted to bring it up anyway because it is the culture we live in. And another thing, be very, 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 very careful of how you let Christian songs influence your mind and your heart. There's a lot of Christian songs out there today that aren't the best theologically.
Amen.
They're not the best doctrinally. And yet we listen to them, we jump right on the bandwagon. We adopt what they're saying. A lot of this faith stuff is in a lot of these songs, okay, which is about the experience. It's about the power that I have in faith. Okay?
I just believe in myself.
You could take it that far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, if you don't hear nothing else, hear this. The whole Christian life is about our relationship with a person. His name is Christ. It is not about impersonal, religious, metaphysical, New Agey kind of stuff. Okay? The second we start going into that area, we don't see Christ, and we are leaving the personal reliance and submission to Christ and getting into our own pride and power. And what did Satan say right in the garden? Yeah. Geez, you know what? We could be like a God. Wow. That's the power I have. No. God has all the power. You submit. Anyway. I had a situation, I'll try to say this sort of quick. Earlier in the summer, I'm in information technology sales, corporate information technology, and one of the vendors that I work with, who is a charismatic, and again, I think she's a respectable, honorable Christian. I just want to say that off the bat. But we were working on this project together, this sales project, and this email sort of transpired between the two of us. Okay, and she knows I'm a Christian. I know she's a Christian. The subject of prayer came up for this deal. Okay, and she said, "We will win this. I think we need to pray too." And I said, "Don't shoot the messenger, but my honest gut barometer tells me that we are losing this already. And to be honest, we're behind the eight ball and on the way out. But yes, I am praying. I do always pray for my business." Okay. She said, "I don't believe you're right here. Someone has to believe." I said, I believe in the Lord Jesus and his will, and I ask him for blessing according to his sovereignty. I just can't believe things into existence regardless of his will. If I could, I'd be retired right now and I wouldn't be selling anymore. Okay? Her answer, which is interesting, and this is sort of what I'm getting at, was this. We are given direct instructions to call things into existence. It is God's will to bless his people and prosper us, which in its original has a financial connotation. Yes, it's connected to our soul. I believe a lot, and not everything happens the way I want or expect, but in some cases, I think it can be due to my lack of faith. Did anybody hear some key words there? We are given direct instructions to speak things into existence.
Kenneth Hagin, Joyce Meyer.
Are we the creator? Is there one creator or is there a bunch of creators?
One.
There's one. By him all things exist, consist. So, not to beat a dead dog, but I wanted to back up a little bit there. Now, remember this. Okay, prayer is communication between you and God. It's communication between two people. It is not an impersonal religious force. Okay, and that's what James is getting at here. All he's explaining here, really, is he's saying that God, the person, will honor not doubting him, or will not honor doubting him. Okay? God wants us to trust him and not doubt him. That's what he's saying when he says, let not that man think he will receive anything because he's double-minded. Okay? We're to trust God. Not put words in God's mouth, not take over his sovereignty, but trust him and let him be sovereign. Trust his will. Okay? How often do we pray, and then because God doesn't jump to the tune of our prayer in the way we want or in the time we want, we sort of take things into our own hands?
I do it less and less as I grow in maturity, but I understand what you're saying. It's like life is full of trials and afflictions, and they're for our growth and maturity. And we got to go through them and learn from them, not just blow them off and try to get them, you know, around them. Mm-hmm. So I understand what you're saying.
There's a lot of times practically, and James is a practical book about practical things, where we will pray about something. We have an issue in life. Could be a job. Could be a spouse. Could be a kid. There's a lot of things. Just name it. Practical things. And we pray about them. And because God doesn't jump when we say jump, or how he says jump, or how we say jump, we take things into our own hands.
Right. That's true.
Okay? I'll give you one example. And this is like real personal, but it's personal stuff's good for lessons because people listen. There's a lot of men who don't lead their family spiritually. Okay? There's a lot of instruction in the Word of God, which we won't get into today, which instructs men to lead their family spiritually. Okay? Doesn't mean they're any better, none of that stuff. But that's the fact in Scripture. You want to know what a lot of women do who have men who don't lead spiritually? Well, then I better. Then I better take over. I'm going to lead spiritually. I'm going to lead my family spiritually. I'm going to do all the, you know, responsibility in my family spiritually, rather than saying, no, I need to continue to being what God's called me to be. Okay? And don't get me wrong, and I'm not diving into this whole topic right now, but I'm not saying women don't ever do this or do that. I'm not saying that. But to take over spiritual leadership of your home because your husband doesn't provide it is overstepping your bounds. Okay? That is a situation, it's just a practical situation, where God doesn't, you're praying for your husband to take over spiritually, to take leadership spiritually, and he doesn't do it. What you need to keep doing is praying, not take over. Okay? And there's examples like that all over the place, but we do that all the time, okay? And what we need to do is not be double-minded. We need to trust God and actually follow his will. Because you know what? He teaches us stuff.
That's right.
During all of this going on. Let's not be the sovereign fix-its, okay, that's going to run around fixing everything. Let's just follow God, okay? If you look at 4:3,
okay. I have a question when you read
yeah.
for it.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Are you ready for a change of subject or a different emphasis on this question? Faith question?
Sure.
But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt.
Yes.
Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You know, the man came to Jesus and he said, Lord, when Jesus said something, he says, I believe, help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine if we were really free to be honest here this morning, some of us have asked for things or prayed for things, and we doubted. I mean, there's a very fine line between presumption and faith that God is pleased to honor with the resident power, the power being resident in him, not in us, as you
right.
pointed out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no wiggle room in this thing. Must believe, not doubt, get
yep.
nothing.
Yep.
It's just a strong passage.
Yeah. Yep.
Can you help Senator Keith Kaner on this thing, who doubts sometimes, or any of us who
sure.
sometimes doubt on this?
Sure.
Thing?
First of all, we all doubt, which is why this is in James, okay? Yeah. yeah. We all doubt, which is why this is in James. The key point we're driving at here is our faith needs to be in the Lord.
That's right.
And in his will. And here's the thing. By saying what I said about the misuse of the word faith, the misuse of the word prayer and the power of prayer and all this metaphysical stuff, in no way detracts from the positive side of what we should be doing, which is having faith. We should have faith, strong faith, believing faith. But it's faith in the Lord and it's faith in his will.
Right.
Okay? You know,
faith if you're not asking amiss to spend it on our own path.
Exactly. And you're I'll get to you in a second. That was my next point. If you look at chapter 4, verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Okay? So our faith and our prayer, you know, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much.
Amen.
We're not denying any of that. All I'm saying is our faith, which needs to be strong, our prayer, which needs to be strong, needs to be in trust of Christ and his goodness and his will. If you look back at where we're at in this section, he goes on to talk about in verse 17, every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but we need to have strong faith. We need to have strong prayer, but it's in the object of who our faith is in and in submitting to his will for things.
Thank you.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Okay. You've had your hand up for a long time, Becky.
Yeah, just what you said, just if we apply that, I think real faith is we ask for healing, we ask God, we believe he is good.
Right.
Whatever his answer is.
Exactly.
That whatever comes, and like, that's the real challenge to our faith. Is
exactly.
That we ask believing, but then we say, as Christ did, your will be done. You
that's
know what's
it. Amen.
Exactly.
You know what's for my best.
Exactly.
And your glory, and that can mean affliction. It may not mean I get in
totally.
The car. It may
yep.
mean I struggle for a while.
Yep.
But glory to God. Thank you, God. I trust you.
Yes.
That kind of attitude.
When we pray, even if it's for healing of things, you tell me, who knows best what needs to happen?
Of course, God.
The Lord knows best. And it's his sovereign will that is being unfolded in the world, not ours.
Right.
So, yes. By the way, visitor, what's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin, good to have you.
This is my wife, Hannah.
Hannah, good to have you. What's that? Not calling you out? Okay. Yeah. You just have to stand up and sing, but that's okay. Kevin, go ahead.
Well, even if we ask for things and God says no, you know, in the sense of like somebody dying, he didn't heal the person, we also don't know, like what you mentioned, that what's going to happen down the road.
Right.
Something good may come from that death that we could have never seen because we are not all-knowing and all-powerful.
Right.
That's why God, I know, has used events like that to bring people together that would have never gotten back to him.
For sure.
Otherwise.
Yep. Absolutely. And what you're saying, Kevin, is really the essence of what James 1 is talking about, because it started out talking about trials. We're talking about trials. We're talking about real life trials here. And then this is part of the issue that gets brought into this, which is don't be double minded. Trust the Lord. You know, so it is trials. And if it wasn't that, and if we sort of had volition or power to like pray or to just have this metaphysical faith to change things, it would just be like a self-fulfilling prophecy or a circular thing where we would just solve everything and we would have no issues.
We wouldn't need God.
Right, we wouldn't need God.
Exactly.
So, Becky.
Just one more thing. I think as much as you want to name it and claim it, philosophy is not good because we're naming and claiming what we think is good. I think sometimes we also neglect the other side and we lack belief in what God can do, what he's able to do.
Exactly.
When my mom was struggling with cancer, you know, it looked like we might lose her, and I remember praying about that and struggling with this, with believing, you are healer, God. I believe you can do anything.
Yep.
And the Lord told me to stand at a crossroads and to look to the right. To the right is miraculous healing. Look to the left. To the left is her going home. And he said to me, no, you stand right here.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even look to the right or the left, but fix your eyes on me and trust me.
Mm-hmm. And Becky, what you just said is chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. Okay? But again, the crux of all this, people, and you might think I'm just belaboring this point like crazy, but, you know, Satan's a great deceiver. And we're told to have discernment and have wisdom. And if we don't understand these subtle things, we can very easily go off course. And now instead of believing Christ, our good Father, we start speaking things into existence.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'll wait.
Basically, I was going to say, it was said before, but that truly is the foundation for this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Absolutely.
So, and I was, Lord, I believe this is what I want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to deal with this. This is painful. This hurts. I'm tired of it. But I know that you're sovereignly in control. And if you can remedy this situation, I want to praise you and thank you right now. Nevertheless, if I got to go through it, I want your will to be done. So it's that heart attitude of submission first. You can share what you want the Lord to do, but you're acknowledging, I am not really aware of everything. I'm not omnipotent, omniscient, right?
Yep.
So you run it, Lord.
The natural result, if we take everything into our own hands, we start practicing a metaphysical faith, is that what we're really saying we're doing from the very onset is we're going to fix it.
Right.
And what is going to happen when our metaphysical faith doesn't work? We're going to fix it. We're going to take a different route.
Yeah.
If I'm praying for my spouse that something's going to happen and blah, 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 and it's like I'm praying in faith and it just doesn't happen, I might just have to leave them. I got to fix it. Garbage in, garbage out.
In verse 5, I mean, is that the context as far as asking for wisdom from God, where it says, you know, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. As far as asking in faith without doubting. So we have that concrete, you know.
Yeah, verse 5, I actually believe, is going back to the previous four verses. It's not looking forward, it's looking backwards about that wisdom.
Mike, did you ever ask that gal chapter and verse on that speak things into existence?
Yeah, let's not go there. No, but well, that's a different subject. So, yeah. So anyway, let's get back into our text here. So I just wanted to mention that, everybody, because we have this really, really happening a lot around us these days. And part of the thing we try to do here in teaching is we instruct. Why do we instruct? So we become what James says is mature. And we can't be mature if we're not informed and if we're practicing garbage.
That's right.
Okay? And there's a lot of garbage out there. And it's partly my responsibility to try to help take the word of God and say, look, here's what this means, here's what it doesn't mean. And it doesn't mean that faith is some abstract, impersonal, religious thing, or that the power of prayer has nothing to do with Christ. Okay? And that we can have a power in prayer aside from Jesus Christ. We can't. But that's being taught all over the place.
Yeah.
Now, let's look back down to verse 12, where we left off last time. Awesome verse. Blessed is the man. And by the way, we said that James is a lot like the Beatitudes. And here again is one example. He says, blessed is the man who, sort of like the Beatitudes. And if you back up, by the way, to verse 10 and 11, something I forgot to mention is, he says, let the rich man glory in humiliation or humility, because like flowering grass, he will pass away, for the sun rises, blah, blah, blah. That's another speak thing of James right out of Psalm 103. Okay, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, and when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. That's right out of Psalm 103. So the thing that's neat about James is he knows his word, and just how he speaks is scripture. And I would just really encourage us to say, you know what, let's have a goal that we are so drenched in God's word that when we speak scripture.
Amen.
And it's consistent. You know, that's just a side point. So in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Last week, we already looked at the word approved, okay, which is docimus. It's number 1384 in the Strong's. And really, that word approved is that phrase basically saying that you've been through fire, you've been through trial. Just like, you know, silver and dross get separated, you've been proved, okay? But if you look at the bottom of the verse, he says, which the Lord has promised to, and put a colon right there after to, the Lord has promised to those who love him. He didn't say the Lord has promised to those who think about God. The Lord has promised to those who believe in God. Okay, he says in chapter 2, even the demons believe in God. Those who are religious, those who pray a lot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, those who love him. This here is the key.
Amen.
To our entire Christian existence. It's the key to the gospel. It's those who love him. Interestingly, I looked this up, and the word love in the original language, let me find it here. It's actually the word agapao, okay? This is different than agape. When we think of love and we think of, you know, the English translation of love, we think of, you know, the Greek having agape, which is unconditional love. We think of phileo, which is brotherly love. We think of eros, which is erotic love, which is all in Song of Solomon, by the way. We think of those three things, and they're true, but there's derivatives of those as well. This is agapao, okay, which is in the Greek. And what this really is, it's a worship type of love. It's love to the point of worshiping. To give an example of the difference, I can agape my neighbor. I can agape my son or daughter. I unconditionally love them. Okay, I don't kick them to the curb no matter what they do. I agape my kids. I agape my brothers in Christ. But I don't agapeo any of them because I don't worship them. This is a worship love in verse 12, okay? This is love to the point of worshiping. Something that I wanted to describe here, and if you don't mind and forgive me or just bear with me, I'm just going to read this because it was a note that I wrote down when I was doing this lesson, and I just don't want to say it wrong, and it's easy to say it wrong, so if you'll permit me to just read for a paragraph. Listen to this. Again, this is just talking about this. So when he says, to those who love him, he's in essence saying those who worship him, or those who love him to the point of worshiping. And you can't worship him in spirit and truth if you aren't regenerate by his spirit. So this love is a God-provided, worshipful love that returns love back to the Lord himself. And this ties right back to verse 1. James doesn't address Christ, nor should we, as someone he just loves willy-nilly, or someone he gives God-like lip service to. You know, God said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Okay? No, James addresses him as Lord in verse 1, and himself as slave, which is a pronounced worshiping of that which only one type of love can provide, that to a person's soul and controlling master, God. This is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me in John 10:27. And then the test in all of this is if we will love him to the end through trials and persecutions by enduring all things, which proves out who we really were all along.
Amen. Amen.
Revelation 2:10. Can somebody read that? Whoever has it.
Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you look at verse 12 in James, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which is referring to eternal life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He didn't ask Peter three times, Peter, you been to church? Peter, you been reading your Bible? Peter, y'all prayed up? Peter, do you have any sins that we need to talk about? Peter, are you leading like I asked you to? He said, Peter, do you love me? That's all I asked him. Our whole life, and man, oh man, it's like, I got all kinds of stuff here I wanted to get into today.
Yeah, but this is good stuff. You're taking your...
Our whole life boils down to this. I'm gonna get something in here real quick. Okay, look up first. Whoever has this, look up 1 Corinthians 2:14 and Romans 5:12.
The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
Okay, I'm getting like way out of whack here. Never mind. The point is this. You know, Christ said in John 14 and in other areas of John, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll know them, first of all,
right,
which is another part, okay? I can't say this loud enough or firm enough. We can do all we want, people. We can go to church. We can attend small group. We can go to Bible studies. We can listen to this. We can watch that, whatever. Okay? If God doesn't have your heart, and if you don't love him, and that's what motivates you, you're missing it.
Amen.
Okay? You're totally missing it. His love, our love for him, needs to be literally what motivates our soul and our spirit. And it's why we do what we do.
That's right.
Okay? It's Christ the person. Nothing else. We're not here to play church. We're not here to be religious. Okay? Christ the person demands our worship. This word in verse 12, agapao, is worshipful love. Okay? And he will give eternal life and has given eternal life through, we won't get into that, regeneration, to those who love him. Questions? I'm going to have to end. We'll have to pick it up next week. I'm trying to give some time for announcements. So, a lot of blank stares.
That's good.
Who agrees? Who disagrees?
That's the same love in Romans 8:28.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. To them that works all things together for good. To them that love God.
And then verse 29, to be conformed.
According to?
His image, Christ's image.
His purpose.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That raises a question about versions of the Bible. Looks like you're using an ASV.
Yeah. Yeah, so I use an ASV.
I'm using the ESV.
Okay.
Why did you pick the NASB?
I have the NASB because, and by the way, here's a little plug for this. I have what's, I can't show it to you because it's wrapped, but I have what's called a Key Word Study Bible. And it's a great Bible. If anybody needs the Bible, look up a Key Word Study Bible if you need to buy a new Bible. But I just have the NASB because it's just a very, very accurate translation to the original text.
And it's from the Greek numbers with it, and yeah. You got a concordance.
Yeah, the key to the Keyword Study Bible, everybody, is there's a really good, not just a concordance, but a lexicon in the back.
Right.
And the author, Zod Hayates, who is the editor of this version of the Bible, does a really, really good job of explaining Greek text and Greek words. Okay, but anyway, I have NASB just because I did this before everybody bought ESVs, and I'm not changing my Bible. So.
Well, kind of the reason I brought it up is you just brought up this difference in the word, those who love him, and mm-hmm. I can't remember what the Greek word was that you used.
Agapao.
And I just spent 5 minutes while you were talking looking at it in the ESV version that I have,
yeah.
And they don't have anything about that. It's just love in every way that they reference it. So
okay.
Worshipful love, and, you know, translation is actually pretty useful to me.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. You know, one of these days, I think it would be really cool. Tell me what you think about this, by the way, and we'll close. I was mentioning to Tracy about a week ago that I think it would be sort of neat someday, like when we have a week between series that we need to do something with, maybe just have like, and I don't, please forgive me, I don't mean to like put myself in Pastor Keith's shoes and Bert's shoes, but have just like a panel of the three teachers, okay, Keith, me, and Bert, and just go over what we use to study Scripture. And the tools we use and how we do hermeneutics and so forth. And just have it be like an open Q&A. I think it would be great just as a practical thing for everybody in a class to just hear different things that are used, different versions of Scripture, why, different lexicons, etc. Might be a handy thing. So someday, we'll see. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I'm sorry I didn't get through everything again, but I just pray that your will was done. I just pray that your word and your truth would change us. I pray your word would speak to us. Help us, Lord, to obey you, and help us to love you because you're the only God there is.
Yes, sir.
Help us to not love anything else in a worshipful way than you. So, Lord, just thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.